So with that, we are going to enter a new series. So just a quick reminder, our vision, our five-year vision is to see five new works started in five different zip codes. And so we've got our Resurrection Life Church started in Gladden Farms. That's super exciting. They've already had baptisms and things like that. So, you know, we might have not have those people here in our church, but that's exciting, right? Because there's a whole other group of people that are meeting 15 miles away. And we've got a vision. We've got, you know, Eloy around us. We've got tons of different zip codes that we want to do. But sometimes when you just say, you know, in 5 years we want to see this, it's like, okay, yay. How are we going to get there? Right? And so we are breaking down that 5 years into 90-day initiatives as a church. So for 3 months at a time, we're going to be focused on a specific thing. And I want you to know, Cody and I, we don't know what the next 5 years, those 90-day things are. It's very much what is God speaking to us about? What's he doing in our church? And so the current one we're in, we've got about a month left on, and it's 90 stories in 90 days. And so far, or what that means is that, you know, we're committing as a church to telling our story with Jesus, inviting someone to church, having a spiritual conversation 90 times. Okay, so far we have exactly 60 stories that have been told. We can celebrate that in here. And it has been so incredible to hear how you guys are just being so brave and just the way that you're explaining that moment of like, oh my gosh, like there's a pit in my stomach, but then I just said it and it was this amazing thing, conversation. So I want to remind you of that. But going into our series, you know, this initiative piggybacks perfectly on what we're talking about. And we're going to be talking about unity. Unity. And so one of our core values you can see over here is unity, and that we are compelled by love. That's kind of the tagline for what it means to be unified. And so Cody and I were looking into scripture and we're saying, okay, what does it really mean though? Because we can't just assume that we come together on a Sunday and worship under one roof and we're just unified. Right? It's different than that. It's more than that. And so we're going to be looking at Ephesians 3 today, if you want to open up in your Bible. We want to say, if you don't have a paper Bible, please let us know. We will get one to you, not just your phone Bible. That's fine, but we want you to have an actual Bible. Also, kudos to Pastor Jane and Pastor Kim for teaching our How to Read Your Bible class this last week. They did an awesome job. Yeah, that was great. So go ahead and open up there. It'll be on the screen or on your app as well, or in your Bible.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be reading out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 specifically today, if you want to take a moment and turn there, verses 14 through 19. And I'll tell you what, this passage has been just speaking to me personally over the last month or so. And man, it has just like lit a fire in me on this topic. And so we're really excited to share this with you today. So let's read, starting at verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the churches in Ephesus. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Yes. What a prayer. What a prayer from the Apostle Paul. And something that's, interesting and unique about the book of Ephesians is that it was to a group of churches. Most of the Pauline letters, you know, were to one specific church, and he was kind of addressing issues within that one church. And this is the only letter that was to a group of churches. And so even this letter, right, it shows unity, because it's meant to be spread to all of these churches in this region, mm-hmm. right? To say, this is what I need all of you to be doing. Not just one church, but a church body as a whole, right? And this is his prayer, that they would know how the immensity of God's love for them, that they would operate in that, right? And they would know the fullness of God's love. And so we see this powerful truth that the Apostle Paul is trying to get out, is that unity starts with a personal yearning for the fullness of God. That's what we see in this passage, and that's what we want to bring out. There's so much to this one passage, but that's what we're going to bring out today. Unity starts with a personal yearning for the fullness of God. You know, when we started our service last week, which for those of you who were here knew it was pretty unique. It was unique for me too, right? And but like God moved, you know, like we can't deny that God moved in a new, in a special way for us. And it's that service started out with this verse I read, Matthew 28:16-17, and this is the resurrected Jesus, he's back, and this is kind of like his last command to the disciples. And he says, meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him, though some held back, mm-hmm. not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Yes. And unity with the Father requires a huge level of risk. We talked about that briefly last week, but in order to really grasp the fullness of God in our lives, right, and to understand that unity starts with this personal yearning for the fullness of God, we also have to talk just briefly mm-hmm. that this is going to require some risk from us. Risk to be compelled by love, not just for our sake, but for the sake of others, for our relationship with God, right? So that we can be who he's asking us to be. And again, so the question that we want to ask today is that, how do we grasp the fullness of God in our lives?
Right. So if we are going to be unified, if we're reading what Paul's saying, and we're saying, okay, that means that every single one of us needs to kind of yearn for, seek that, what he's talking about, the fullness of God in our lives personally, then what does that mean? How do we grasp it? How do we do that as a church? And so the first thing we see in verse 14 is that we have to find our identity in Christ. We have to find our identity in Christ. Let me read to you verse 14. It says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. So this is Paul. He's talking about for this reason. He's just given this long kind of explanation about Jews and Gentiles and all this stuff. And he says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking about every single family derives its name from God. And why is he saying this? He's saying it because there was kind of this language of God's people, the Jewish nation, that they were the children of Abraham. That's what they would call themselves, right? This is who I am. I'm a child of Abraham. My bloodline runs through Abraham. And then Jesus came, and he, if you remember when he died on the cross, the temple curtain was ripped in two, kind of as the symbol of now everyone has access, not just the children of Abraham, now everyone. And so, you know, there's these Greek churches popping up, and the Jews and the Gentiles were kind of, you know, frustrated with each other. They're saying, you know, you need to get circumcised if you're going to be a child of God. And they're like, heck no, I'm not doing that. And I see some of you adult men like, nope, you know, no thanks. And so what Paul is saying is there is a higher honor to be called a child of God than to be a child of Abraham. It's a higher honor because isn't that interesting? Where you get your name is significant, right? Like I've been adopted actually by my dad. So I have not met my biological father. And so when I got adopted by him, he gave me his name, right? And then his parents became my grandparents. My grandma and my grandma, even though I was 6 years old, I remember my dad saying, you know, you can call me dad. You don't have to call me Keith anymore. I remember that conversation with him. And now because of that, I have his name. And in fact, he asked me, you know, he's kind of morbid sometimes, like, will you, you know, he's in his 50s, but he's like, will you be the one that, you know, goes through my will and does all this with the kid? You know, he's like, I'm the one. I have his name. I get his inheritance now as one of his daughters, right? And in the same way, we derive our name from him. That is our identity, Paul is saying. And so before he goes into this prayer about, you know, we're going to seek the fullness of God in our lives, he first makes this statement that you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And so for that reason, I'm kneeling, because every family in heaven derives its name from him. You know, Cody found this interesting idea that the Greek for family is patria, and it's derived from the Greek word for father, which is pater. And so you can see, even just in the Greek, the words are so intricate, right? Like, we derive our identity from our Heavenly Father. And that is incredibly important, that we are children of God. And I was just kind of researching, what does it mean to be a child of God? And it means that we have security, that we don't have to be fearful anymore. It means that we get authority. It means that we get intimacy with God. I don't have to just go through a high priest anymore, right? I've got his name. I'm his child. I get access to him, full access to him. I have an inheritance. And even one thing I had read said, and, you know, praise God that we get heavenly discipline from our Father. And the Bible says he disciplines those he loves, right? And thank God that he knows the best way to do that, because I'm a parent and I'm thinking, Lord, help me. And so these are... this is what it means to be a child of God. And so the fullness of God in our own lives starts with knowing who we are. It has to start. If we're going to have the fullness of God, if we're going to experience that personally and as a church, we have to know our identity.
Yeah. You know, if you're around me long enough, you're going to hear me, you're going to hear me talk about surrender, control and surrender. And I'm sure most of you have heard my little
Everyone's spiel about that.
You know, but there's something about, you know, surrender is where we find our true identity in Christ, right? It has to be grounded in our surrender, because it's not about us. Our identity cannot be anything tied to us. And we see this from Paul himself, right? And Paul loves to refer to himself as a servant of Christ, right? And I was looking into that this week, and the Greek for servant that he uses there is as doulos, and it actually is better translated enslaved. So it's not just somebody that he's like, hey, I'm with Jesus, right? Like, I'm going to serve Jesus because I love him. No, it's he is irrevocably tied to the person of Jesus Christ. He is enslaved to him, and that's what he wants. He wants every action in his life, every word out of his mouth, to be dictated by Jesus Christ, because that's what true surrender really looks like, and that's where we find our identity. That's the only power we have, guys, in identity, is when it's founded truly in the person of Jesus Christ. What Paul's saying there is no Paul without Jesus. There's no me without him. I am nothing. I literally would rather just not exist if I didn't have Jesus. Paul is screaming this at us, right? There's actually passages where he talks partly about this, and he says, look how big the letters are that I'm using in this letter. You know, like, I wish we could see that, you know, like these huge letters that he's scrawling across and saying, please understand this. You know, and he talks in Galatians 6, and he says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. Because Paul could have taken credit for a lot of things in his identity. He could have said, look what I've done. Look at all these new churches and all these new movements and all these people that listen to me. Look at all the amazing miracles that has come from me. Me, 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 me. He could have absolutely done all that, right? And people would have still followed him. And people tried that. They even tried to, like, cut pieces off of his clothing and bring it around so people could get healed by whatever he was wearing, right? It's crazy. He was this larger-than-life individual in that time. But look what he's saying. May I never boast. Mm-hmm. May I never take any credit except in the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is who I am, and that is all that matters. No matter what he did, it all pointed back to Jesus. Because that is where identity has to be rooted in.
Yeah. So where does your identity come from? You know, I was thinking about this, about like, okay, how do I even know, right? Because I hear that and I think, yes, yes, I'm a child of God. I'm identified in Jesus and what he's done for me. But you'll know when your identity is not in the right place, when that area of your life that you're putting your identity in fails you, and then you are sent reeling. Right? And so let me explain, if you put your identity in your finances and some financial thing, you know, like I find myself when my finances are secure, I'm secure, right? And then all of a sudden, because we know we all have bank accounts, that it's not always secure, right? And so something comes and happens, and if you're sent reeling in your faith and, you know, in your marriage, all like, oh, we're going to fall, the sky is falling, then you know your identity is put in your finances, not in Jesus. If you put your identity in a relationship with somebody else, let me tell you right now, human beings will fail you. Even that person you love with your whole heart. I've been married almost 13 years. I have failed my husband many times. Okay, Matt's aunt is here, and I'm sure she's seen it in the last 3 days. You know, like, we're human beings. We're human beings. And so if that person fails you or, you know, gets grumpy or short or, you know, says sins or whatever, and if you're sent reeling because of that, then your identity is in your marriage. You know, I'm being a woman in ministry, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about my life. I want you to know that. And they feel free to share them with me about my parenting and what it means to be a mom and whatever. And I want you to know, I'm open to that. If you have anything, I want to hear it, right? I want to hear what God is speaking to you. But if I put my identity in being a parent or a female pastor or any of that, then when someone criticizes that or it comes or my parenting fails or whatever, I'm going to be sent reeling. So are things coming up in your mind right now about what messes with you and where your identity might be placed, right? And so, you know, it's really important that we learn and lean into who we are, that we really grasp it. And I just have a couple practical things about ways to do that. Number one, you have to identify the area that your identity is placed in. You have to say it. And maybe today that's the thing. You know what? I've been putting my identity in ABC, and I'm just going to bring that before God and say, I'm sorry. Here's what it is. Okay? And then when we hand that over and we learn, then we kind of have to realize the filters through which we're processing life. Okay? Because it's all a mental thing, right? Your identity, it's mental. And so, you know, I've been working with someone specifically and been talking about how do I actually live out my identity in Jesus and kind of acknowledging this idea of, you know, if we put our filters through that, you know, things that we hear filter through identity in the wrong places, then we kind of get goofy. And so if we put a Holy Spirit filter there, you know, every day say, Lord, you are what is the truth? I need the filter of truth so that when things come my way, circumstances or criticism or whatever, that it comes through the lens of truth, right? That should be our prayer. We have to know the truth. We have to know God's word. And then from there, we have to live confidently in that. We have to acknowledge, like, this is who I am, and I'm going to live confidently in that. And so we could preach all day about what it means to do that. But can you imagine, I just want you to imagine this, if every single one of us in here today recognize, you know what, my identity's been in this weird thing, I'm handing it over, and we all, every one of us got our identity, lived our identity through Jesus Christ, what would happen in our church? Can you imagine? I know, yeah, woo, like it would just, can you imagine what God would do in us and what he would do through us? Really? And can you imagine, like, when that person, you know, didn't invite you to their birthday party and you were super triggered, right? Because in the church, let's be honest, we do that. I see on Facebook is the worst, that certain people go to the movies together, have birthday party, you're not invited. And if you're finding your identity in friendship or other people, you're rocked. Can you imagine if all of us were, like, totally unified together? If there was no division, no frustration, no kind of, you know, well, you're weird because you voted for that guy, you know, whatever thing. Can you imagine what God might do in us and what he might do through us? I think we would see everyone living in this new confidence in their gifting and their personal call under heaven, and the spiritual momentum that would happen would be vast. This is what we're after, right? So where is your identity? If we're going to experience the fullness of God in our church, then personally we need to find our identity in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Our next point is that in order to grasp the fullness of God in our lives, that we have to find strength in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that here in verses 16 and 17. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now we could stop there, and that would still be a great little line, right? But he goes on. Says that that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Mm-hmm. When we find strength in the power of the Holy Spirit, even then, Paul is hammering this point home, your identity is in Christ. the power that comes from the Holy Spirit for us to overcome all of the things that get that we face in our lives, right? That's not just for us to be like, I got this. That's for us to say, Jesus has already overcome this. And I can be confident now in that strength, in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in and through me, right? Mm-hmm. When our identity is fully tied to Jesus, then we get to operate, only then really do we get to operate as a true conduit of the Holy Spirit's power. You know, last week, we had this really crazy service. It was great. It was like such a breakthrough thing for us, right? I'm still trying to understand it all even, right? Of like how God moved. We threw out the sermon at the top and we just prayed and we got lots of breakthrough that morning, and it was really, really a powerful thing. But somebody was telling me that at the beginning of the service, they kind of got this vision of like this cloud happening and then like lightning hitting the ground, right? And then later on, like, I was praying for somebody, and the person fell over, which is like a new thing, right, for us, that the person fell over, and that was amazing, that to see just that level of the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, right? But the person who saw that vision of the cloud and the lightning, they said right before that happened, they saw the person come up and get prayer. He closed his eyes, and he saw lightning hit a tree, and the tree fell over. And so, like, what was so cool, what that taught me in that moment, right, with that vision, that kind of prophetic word in that moment for me, was that I'm just a conduit. It has nothing to do with me. It's about me getting out of the way enough so that the Holy Spirit can be the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is trying to get across, right, when he says that you may find strength in the Holy Spirit so you can be rooted in Christ. It's all circular. It all gets tied together, guys. We want what the Holy Spirit wants for us, but that has to start and end with our foundational understanding that Jesus is what it's all for, proclaiming the name of Jesus to this world.
Yes.
That's what matters. And that's what he's saying here, right? But we do, in order to find this understanding of unity and this personal yearning for a fullness of God, then we do have to find that strength in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the name of Jesus doesn't have power to other people. Right? If we can't go and pray for people and say, I feel strong enough in my faith, and I don't know what's going to happen. It's up to God whether you get healed or whether some crazy thing's going to happen, but I feel confident enough in the power of the Holy Spirit in me to be able to pray for you in the first place and to be able to say God is good and I've seen him move and I've seen miracles in my life and I know that he can overcome whatever you're facing. That is the power that we have to exude as Christians. That's the power that we have to tell people. This is what Jesus is capable of, because if we don't, then the power of the cross is moot to people. They don't understand it and they go, well, what's the big deal? You're just sitting in a church service singing some songs and you go home and nothing happens. Hmm. But that's not what Jesus wants for us. He wants breakthrough. He died so that we could have breakthrough and transformation in our lives, so that we can go tell a story that transforms somebody else's life.
Yes.
That's what power is for. It's just so we can have a story that's worth telling. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
You know, a few months ago I had shared that I had a day with God. I do that once a month where I spend some time with him. And he told me to join a gym. And I was like, no, you know, I don't want to do that. I like eating my bonbons and whatever. And he said to me, as you shed some things on the outside, I'm going to shed some things on your heart. And so I've been like kind of marinating on that idea. And so, you know, so if you're on my Facebook feed, you see, you know, I'm obnoxiously posting about my gym. And there's a lot of reasons why I'm posting about that I'll share later. But as I've been doing this, it's really interesting. And so I've shared a little bit, you know, in the past when I've attempted a workout program or a clean eating, it's been really fairly simple for me. Anyone have that metabolism? Like, I'm just going to eat lettuce for a few days. And I'm, raise your hand, own it. Right? It's easy for you, okay? Right. And who else in here is like, I've been eating lettuce for 9 weeks and I weigh the same? I mean, let's be honest. Okay. Right. So we have different metabolisms. And so it's been frustrating because I've been doing this alongside other people and like they're having better results than I've had, but I'm working way harder. Okay, way harder. And so it's been a frustrating experience for me, to be honest. And, you know, I'm in there lifting those weights, and sometimes I'm just bitter. You know, I'm just like lifting them, like, whatever. Like, this is so frustrating. You know, and God is like, this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm teaching you, girl, the discipline, number one, what it looks like to be disciplined. And I'm also teaching you patience and letting things marinate and the idea that breakthrough brews under the surface before we experience it on the outside. Like, there's some amazing stuff that's happening in my inner being. But what would happen if I just was doing this gym thing and it was just on the outside? It would just be an outward thing, right? It would just be I might look a little better. But on the inside, it was nothing. And I was thinking about that, that sometimes we do this with church and with the power of the Holy Spirit. We kind of seek this external manifestation of it, but we don't let it strengthen our inner being. Right? And so last week we had this incredible experience. I'll tell you what, I grew up in a very traditional setting, and so it was different for me last week, and I loved it. I loved just being kind of the walls down and God, whatever you want to do. And so that was amazing, and the Holy Spirit manifested himself here, and some things were happening, and we prayed for Abby's mom, and this week she got some really good news about some sickness she's been dealing with and whatnot, and so God's moving. He's moving in this place. But I'll tell you what, if we're only seeking external manifestations without allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen our inner being, we are missing out, right? We're missing out. The Bible says the Lord looks what? He looks at the heart. He does not look at the outward appearance as man does. He looks at the heart. And so I don't know which one of you want the fullness of God in your life, right? Some of us are like, yes. Some of us are like, that kind of scares me. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what, whatever God wants for my life, that's what I want. I want 100% to know him in every moment and everything. And that's going to start with allowing him into my inner being. That's what Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that you'd be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, not just on the outside. And certainly God does that, and that's incredible. But in your inner being, if every person was confident that they had strength in their inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit, what impact do you think that would have on this church? If every one of us had this confidence that my inner being is strengthened, it doesn't matter what's happening outside, inside, I'm good. I'm rooted. I'm standing. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's been invited into every crevice of my life, of my heart, of my thought process, of what I do when I'm alone, of what I look at on my screen, you know, whatever. He's in every single thing. I've invited him there. He gets full access. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen if we allowed him that in our lives, the strength that would take place in our hearts, the strength in our inner beings, what victories we would experience, and what miracles, right, would come as the outpouring of that because we all had that confidence. I'm going to keep going. Okay, so who here needs strength from the Holy Spirit to get through what you're currently facing? Who needs it, right? Like, this is what it looks like. It's not just like, Lord, give me strength. He's saying, invite me in. It's not just, Lord, bestow a strength on me, this kind of outward strength from heaven. Invite me into your life is what he's saying. Give me access to the whole house, right? The whole heart. And so that's what we're going for today, to invite him into our inner being. And so, you know, maybe after when we're going to go into worship, we'll have some prayer for that you would just maybe surrender your life 100% over to the Holy Spirit, to the power of Jesus in your life, that you could experience that strength. You want me to keep going? Oh, all right.
Well, it's your next point anyway. It's okay.
I'm going. All right, next point. Cody's just tapping out. He's following the Holy Spirit right now. He's getting strength in his inner being. Okay, third point. Third point. If we are going to experience the fullness of God in our lives, we have to become rooted in love. We have to become rooted in love. And so in 17 and 18, it says this crazy thing, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, there it is again, together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And so this is what it's saying, that we need to get a grasp on our identity. We need to invite him into our inner being, and we need to get a grasp, a firm understanding of how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. Yeah. Because it's when we understand that love that we are going to experience this fullness of God, okay? You know, in John 17, it says that the disciples, Jesus talking to the disciples, he says, the world will know you are Christians by what? By your love, right? That's where it comes from. It comes from the way that we love each other, but we cannot love each other well unless we grasp how wide, right? How long, how high, how deep. I want to share with you, I was doing a little study on this this passage, and John Wesley actually had notes in his journal about this passage. He talked about the width. Right? The width of God's love, the everlasting love of God, that it doesn't end. It's unconditional and it's eternal and everlasting. I mean, can we get a grasp on that? That it doesn't run out. We are loved by a God whose love never runs out. Is that incredible? It never gets tired. It's just constant. In our lives. You know, I'm a parent, and sometimes I love my kids. I want you to know, in my inner being, I love my kids, but sometimes in my external being, I struggle to express that correctly, right? And I'll tell you what, God doesn't struggle with that. It's constant in our lives. And then the depth of his love, the unfathomable depth of how he loves us, that he knows us. He knows every single thing about me, and he loves me to the deepest core of more than I know myself. Isn't that incredible? And then the height. And John Wesley wrote how high it is, unreachable by the enemy. I thought that was so neat, that God's love is so high that the enemy can't touch it. No matter how many, you know, minions Satan stacks on top of each other, he cannot touch the top of how high God's love is for us. We are covered by that. And so we have got to grasp this in our lives, because Paul's saying that you would be rooted and established here. That would be the outpouring of unity in your life. And you know what? I really believe that love, that understanding and grasping of God's love, is where the full expression of God's presence comes out, right? Not just in here. It is when we are operating and rooted and established in that love. Yes, his presence becomes tangible, but I think it even becomes tangible outside of the church. I think that when we experience that, we grasp it, that it catches the attention of the world that is so desperate for that. So hungry, so broken, so lost, right? I mean, isn't that just what you think? I mean, we have all these Hallmark things because we just want to be loved, you know? Like, that is the greatest need that every human being has. And so if we can grasp it as God's church, then what a story. I just picture, like, the full picture of God on earth, right? That people actually get to see him when we love each other that way. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And so we become rooted in his love. Mm-hmm. You want to say anything?
Yeah. So
I'll keep going.
So being rooted and established in love means that we not only see God the way that Jesus saw God, his Father, but we see ourselves when we look in the mirror the way that God sees us, and we see others the way that Jesus mm-hmm. saw them. That's what being rooted and established in love means. And if you can have that as a basis for every relationship in your life, then unity is always going to follow. You cannot be in disunity with someone that you aren't rooted and established in love with. It's not possible, because there's always going to be that foundation there keeping you in that, you know? We can trick ourselves into thinking that because Jesus barked at the Pharisees, that we get to stick it to those we disagree with too, right? I think there's a big danger there, just because, like, and I've heard that so many times, like, well, Jesus said this. He said, you brood of vipers, to these people, right? And it's like, okay, well, that's Jesus, okay? Like, and you know what? He died for those people, okay? Are you prepared to die for the people that you want to be snarky with? Huh? I'm not. Because I'm not Jesus. The people that I disagree with, the people that I disagree with the most in this life are you know, I don't think I can die for them. But I can love them. And I can try my best to see them the way that Jesus saw the Pharisees, the people who mocked him, who spit on him, who killed him ultimately, the people who drove him into death, right? He hung on a cross looking at those people that were still jeering at him. Because he loved them. Mm. And he had every right to say what he said to them, to overturn tables, because he did that knowing that I'm going to die for these people. And he was desperate for them to get it, to finally get it, so that they could take advantage of what his death meant to them. You know, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, 43 and 44, he says, "You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That is this upside down kingdom understanding of what rooted in love really means for us. That's what Paul is pleading with us over. And again, notice that Paul isn't saying in this passage, he's not on his knees pleading with God that people would leave the lies behind, that they would change their ways. He's not saying, make that person think differently, Lord. He's not saying, I pray that this person would get out of this addiction. He's not saying, would this church change the way that they're doing things, right? He's not asking that God would somehow come down and overturn free will in people's lives. He's asking that they would know how long and wide and deep and high is the love of God, because that fixes everything in our lives. Every last problem in our lives and the people that we are around, the people that God has called us to, our enemies, our friends, our family alike, the most important thing we can do for them is to pray that they would know who Jesus really, truly is, mm-hmm. and what he did for them. Because yes. That will change everything. It will. Didn't it change everything for you? Isn't that what did it? Not people saying, hey, you need to change this in your life. Hey, you better stop this, right? It's the love of Christ that changed me. That they would be rooted and established in love so that they could know the fullness of God. That's what we pray. That's what we seek, friends and enemies alike, right? Mm. So let's pray for those in our lives to know this vast magnitude of the love of God, right? That they would experience this fullness that they could never understand without understanding the love of God. May we do that today. May we take that time, and with every single name that's in here, let's not just pray that they would change their ways, right? Let's not just pray that they could get into some setting where, like, maybe somebody will say the right words to them or whatever, right? Let's pray for these names even today. For those of you that put a name in here and those of you who know the names that you need to, pray this prayer with newfound power over those people. And I want to pray that together, mm-hmm. over every single one of those people. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to bring people into your minds right now. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes and be open to that. Open, Holy Spirit, who do you need me to be praying this prayer over? And let's pray this together. I'm going to pray, and just be open and agree with me, please. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kneel before the Father too. Mm-hmm. Father, we kneel before you. Yes. You who, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us and those in our lives with power through your Spirit in our inner being. So that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. We pray that they would be rooted and established in love, and that they would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is your love for them, Jesus. That they would know your love that surpasses knowledge, that they would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Yes. And we know that we can stand on this because you are able to do immeasurably more, mm-hmm. than all we can ask or hope or imagine, according to your power that is at work. All glory. All glory to you, Jesus. Yes.
All glory to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship. And, you know, I'm going to ask you to just respond to some things. And you can bow your head if you want. You know, if you want to keep your eyes open, that's fine. But, you know, we've talked about this idea of us personally owning, yearning, understanding the fullness of God in our lives. And the purpose of that is that so others can come to know him, right? That's the purpose of the church. It's not just that we are in here and having a great experience. It's so that others can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But this is going to start when we find our identity in Jesus. And so if you are struggling to find your identity in Christ, would you just raise your hand? Would you just own it right now? If you're struggling, if you're someone that is struggling with that, when we were talking about, you know, I've been finding it in other places, if that's you, raise it up. I own it right now. This is a surrender moment. Awesome. You guys are so brave. You know, what about, you know, we talked about the strength in our inner being and how that comes when we invite the Holy Spirit to have full reign in our lives. If you've been holding back certain areas of your life from God and you just want to say, you know what, you get full reign. Come in. Come into every part. Would you just raise your hand? Come, yep. That's an invitation that will change your life and it will change the generations that come from you. And this grasp of God's love that we've got to get, this grasp of how wide and long and high and deep the love of God is. If you just want to grasp that, if you just yearn for that, Lord, teach me that, would you just raise your hand? I want to ask too, if there's anyone in this room that's hearing this and saying, gosh, like, I don't know who I am or why I'm here. And I certainly hear about this strength in my inner being and I want that. And I'm loved like that. I mean, I've never heard such a story and I want full access to understanding that in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you want to give your life to Christ today, would you just raise your hand? We just want to give you that opportunity. Always, we want to give that opportunity to anyone in here. You know, during this time, I just believe that God is just moving in this midst. He's softening our hearts. He's doing something. He's healing. Because a lot of these things, our identity and our inner being and this grasp of love, that's a new dose of truth that sometimes hits our hearts, right? Where people have not loved us well or we've been getting our identity from other things for whatever reason. Or we just, you know, just we're tender in those areas. And so we're going to invite some people to pray for you. Ash, would you? Ashley Donnell, if you wouldn't mind. Jessica Antonio, could I call on you? Jessica Brand. These ladies would love to pray for you. Thank you, girls. I just feel like if those are any of those things, if you raised your hand for any one of those things and you're saying, you know what, I want the fullness of God, go receive prayer. Get up at any point during the worship and go to any one of these and they will lay hands on you. They will pray for you in that area. So God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, how can we grasp it, God, but somehow help us how much you love us. Father, we invite you to move in this time. Lord, I pray that where, you know, we've been struggling with our identity, would you just correct that in a miraculous way in Jesus' name in this service? God, that we would not walk out of here putting our trust in anything else but you. And God, we just need an infusion of your strength by your Holy Spirit. And God, there's so many whose hands were up that said, Lord, I give you access to every part of my life, just every part, every thought and every move of my heart. Every single thing, God, we just give you access to come in. Walls down, fear, you know, down. Just, Lord, you know us, so we already know that you know us. Why, I don't even know why we try to hide. So, God, just come in. Come in and do what you need to do. Lord, we're just so amazed and grateful at who you are and that you would invite us into this. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name,